Hey Mitch, it's Ann at Maryland. How are you?
Hi, Ann.
It's just you and me at the moment.
Okay. How you doing?
Okay. A little hoarse, but that's the asthma medication. If I don't exercise my vocal cords, they get all tight.
Well, there's probably a solution for that somewhere.
Yeah. Don't use this particular inhalant and then work at home and not talk to anybody for 48 hours straight. Actually, I need to call. Hello, nobody.
I am.
Sounds like Steve?
Yeah.
It's Mitch also on the line.
Oh, hey, Mitch.
Hi, Steve.
I hope I didn't cause a lot of trouble with you for keywords, Steve. That wasn't my intention. I just thought that may have been the ultimate result.
I'm like a duck with water.
That's probably the best way to be.
Yeah.
Not a duck caught in an oil spill, though, because that's just sad.
I told Emily. We should do this later.
Okay.
Yeah.
We should probably touch base anyway, because it's been a while since you and I have had a chance to. Hello,
Elizabeth. Hi. Who else out there? Ann, did I hear you?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, and who else?
Mitch.
Hi, Mitch.
Hi, scientist.
I'm sorry, who was the last person?
Ed and Susie.
Ed and Susie, hi.
It sounded to me like they said hi, sciences, and I thought, that's not right.
And we'll talk, we'll finish up later.
Yeah, no, that's fine. It's like I said, we should probably touch base, because it's been a few weeks since you and I have had 20 minutes to chat about small bodies crap.
Okay. It's not crap. This is important stuff.
No, I was just trying to reflect the world view.
Hi, Lyle.
Hello.
A bunch of discs that I'm getting ready to ship to you, hopefully by the end of the week. But I just discovered that there are a large number of catalog files on a few of these discs that were never apparently submitted. And so I wanted to wrap those up for you so you had a heads up as to what was coming in.
Okay. We'll talk later. We won't take people's time right now.
Yeah, what else are they going to do? They're just annoyed because the music isn't on. I get to hear the first 16 bars of the same song every time we have a telecon and then somebody else jumps in.
The same one?
I tried to actually dial in at about 10 of because I was going to have my hands occupied for 10 or 15 minutes, and it wouldn't let me.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't recognize my meeting number, snotty little system. Apparently, it's got a 5-minute limit. So now if you hear me dropping things and cursing under my breath, that'll be why.
Hi, Elizabeth. Elizabeth?
Yes.
Just a quick heads up. I do have a meeting at the top of the next hour so I'll be leaving in about 55 minutes.
All right. I hope we'll be through everything by then.
Okay.
But thank you.
Good.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, I hope we're through, too. I'm beginning to develop a real attitude. Okay, go ahead and snicker. About all these meetings that are being scheduled at my lunchtime. And it's not that I necessarily eat lunch, but that's when I go for my walk across campus, which is somewhat critical to my continued good back health. But I don't know how to get this message through to people on the West Coast.
Are you actually proposing we move the standards telecon to a different
time? No, the standards telecon has precedence. I mean, it's always been on at noon on Wednesdays. It's these additional meetings that have all been scheduled for noon. I mean, there was one week when I had four telecons out of 5 days.
Ouch.
At noon. So I think I actually need to complain to Steve. I'm sorry, I'm complaining to the wrong person.
I think a lot of the people here are in at 8, so you might be able to push for an hour earlier. I don't know.
It could be 3 hours later. I mean, have a telecon during your own lunchtime sometime. And by 3 hours later, I'm home.
I was going to say, I thought you left earlier. Yeah.
I do. All I have to do to make a telecon at 3 is leave here at 1:45 instead of 2:15.
Gotcha.
And then I'll call from home.
So did anybody get hit by all that snow last week, or...?
No, it wasn't anywhere near here. Was anybody in the middle of the country?
What about Ed and Susie? Did you guys get anything up there or not?
We've put them to sleep already.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Dick intended to come. I'm a little surprised there. Maybe we should just go ahead and get started anyway. Well, we'll give him another minute. Steve, are you still online?
Steve who?
Adams?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, hi. By the way, I sent out an email at 8:20 my time, so about 40 minutes ago, with the last entry. I don't know how you guys feel about reviewing that possibly, but I just wanted to let you know now so you have a second or two to pull up the email if you haven't done that already.
This is the data set terse description?
Yeah.
Yep, got it.
Okay, I think we're going to have to go ahead. All right. The first question that I had on the list here was something that I don't think there's any clear statement on in the standards that I've been able to find. But basically, if you have a value in a label which typically has a set of units, is it permissible to include those units even when the value is set to UNK or NA or something like that? Or actually, it shouldn't be NA, but let's say NOL or UNK.
Well, it makes a vague difference. If you look into, if you remember the figurative constants, not applicable, unknown, and null.
Unknown will never be populated, whereas null will. So you're
right.
Right,
yeah. So if you actually have a placeholder value, it makes sense, logically at least, that there might be a unit specifier there. If you don't know what the value is, logically it doesn't make sense that you could know what the unit is. But I'm not sure that it's worth excluding it from the syntax because it's the sort of thing that I would expect to see in a large collection of labels from a mission, for example, if there was a dropout in one place.
Right.
Then it's easier to just go ahead and have the units than to try to code the logic to if you've got an unknown, oh, by the way, you also have to make this other syntactical change. So that could kind of go either way.
Okay. Anyone else have any opinions on that one?
Yeah, for that, the reason Ann just stated is that you might have a single instance of an unknown value or a small set of unknowns while you have a large set of known values. So if you've got some kind of a pipeline, the pipeline is going to be putting the units in. So then you have to go back and take them out, and that's kind of silly.
Okay, does anyone have any objections to that? Basically, the idea where in a data set where you generally do have a value populated, but there's a few cases where you don't, it's fine to just leave the units in because we understand that that's sort of the way pipelines work. Any objections to that? Okay. The next one is the parameters group. Okay, I'm trying to remember. I think the original value that was here was specific object definition as opposed to generic object definition, which didn't make sense anyway because the whole nature of the parameters group is that it allows you to put virtually anything in it. So I'm a little unhappy with the way groups are being currently defined in the PSDD in general, but I think that's something we're going to have to resolve in the future. For now, I think changing this to a generic versus a specific group makes a lot of sense. Anybody, what are the reactions to that?
I thought that having it as a specific object was a mistake in the beginning. I mean, a typographical type mistake. I didn't think it was ever a good idea.
Okay. Any other opinions?
I thought that the biggest problem was that you had object type equals group instead of object type equals generic group in there.
Was that what was there originally?
That was the problem, is that group couldn't be a value.
Okay. Okay, because that was where the reserved keyword came in, or the reserved word. Okay, do you have any objections, though, to changing it to generic while we're doing that? Okay. All right, any other objections? Or any objections, I should say. Okay, the next set. This is basically cases where we've got units, default units that have been assigned to keywords, and they're not enclosed in quotes.
Can I just ask for a clarification, Lisa?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Can I just ask for a clarification? The keyword you're talking about is unit ID, which is not...
No, actually we're not. I'm sorry. What we're doing is we're talking about the attribute unit ID for three different keywords.
That's what I mean. It's not units as in a label. It's unit ID as defined for a keyword. Which
that is correct. This is where it provides the default value of the units, yeah.
And the only place you'd see this would be in a data dictionary.
You got it.
Okay, the only red flag that I would raise is that they shouldn't be single quotes, they should be double quotes.
Okay, why? I'm not disagreeing with you, Ann. Can you just...
Because single quotes have been systematically expunged from ODL by PDS over the course of the past 20 years, and I can't see any reason to introduce them here.
Okay.
I mean, double quotes are sufficient. Double quotes are what's around every other string value in the data dictionary that has this issue. I guess it's mostly descriptions in the PDSDD file. But I really don't see why single quotes as opposed to double quotes. I'd need a really, really big justification for reintroducing single quotes at this point.
Okay.
I agree.
There are other unit, in fact, actually, what we got here.
Well,
wow, we've got a lot more than just those that are...
And they wouldn't appear as single quotes within the label, they'll just be single quoted within our data dictionary.
Doesn't matter. It should be the same ODL parser for everything. And if we remove single quotes from the ODL parser for labels, then we shouldn't be introducing single quotes into the PSDD, which is formatted in ODL.
Okay, what I should point out is that all of the existing unit ID values that have quotes are single quotes. None of them are double.
Really?
Yes.
I wonder why that is.
I also see some other values that may need to be quoted, although...
Well, you know, you're right. I'm looking at the PDSDD.full file now, and they do use single quotes in the alias list and in the unit list. Let me look for some unit ID.
Can I recommend we go with single now for consistency's sake, and if we decide to change it to all double in the future, we can then do everything en masse?
Sure.
Okay. Anybody have any other concerns? Okay. Let's see, the next one, element definition. Downsample method. I know there's actually a lot more corrections we're going to make along these lines, but it looks like these are the ones that were causing VTool some problems for the moment, so we can focus on them. Okay, we've got two different keywords used in the PSDD. I think in the PDSDD.full, the keyword shows up as maximum. In the online data dictionary, it's maximum column value, but it's basically the same thing. That sets the maximum value that the keyword can actually have, whereas maximum length describes the actual number of characters that the value can have. It looks like for downsample method, we have incorrectly set the max column value to 30 when it should, in fact, be the length. Anybody have any objections to changing that one?
Well, there is no keyword maximum column value, is there?
Let me double check. I think there is, but I will double check that right now.
Well, I'm looking at a keyword that I know has a maximum value, longitude, and it has just maximum and minimum, not maximum column value.
Then I may have gotten mixed up in what I just said.
Well, there is a keyword maximum column value, but it's...
To be honest, I think the two of them are equivalent, and it's that one is used in the PSDD.full and the other is used in the online data dictionary. Maximum column value is what is used in the online version. Maximum and minimum are what's used in the .full file.
Okay, well, whatever the actual keyword is that's set in the database is what you need to set.
Right. Okay, but I think my point being here, though, that actually right now, what do we got? We've got max call value. It's a general data type of real.
Yeah, maximum column value is for using inside a column definition, a column object definition is what it looks like to me.
And that may be why it's done the way it is because there's columns in the database, and that may be why it was being used the way it is.
Yeah, good guess, not actually correct.
Pardon me?
maximum is the actual value of the keyword itself. Can be a maximum of 30. Maximum length is only
okay.
applicable to text.
But and I would point out, if you look any keyword up in the data dictionary,
mm-hmm.
it's defined using minimum column value. Hi, Dick.
Well, I'm looking at the only version of the data dictionary that I have, which is the pdsdd.full file, and no, it's maximum and minimum that are used for numerical.
I understand that, Anne. I've said that. I understand. In the online interface, what is used is the max call value and the min call value, and they are set to exactly the same thing that is set as maximum and minimum in the pdsdd.full. I don't really care which one is what's used in the database. All I care is that we get the correct values.
Right.
Okay, so what I'm telling you is those two are exactly identical and equivalent as they're being used in the data dictionary. Downsample method. Let me... Hi, Betty.
Hi, Elizabeth. Sorry I'm late.
Not a problem. Stick. Downsample value.
Well, downsample value is a character type.
Right.
So maximum column value doesn't actually make any sense, but maximum length does.
That's exactly the point.
Right.
So
what's the problem?
So we should change maximum column value to NA and set maximum length to 30. Or actually, should we set to 20?
Well, if 30 is what they meant originally for the maximum length, then you probably don't want to change that. But the standard value set doesn't show anything longer than 10 characters.
Okay. What we should do is change the maximum length to 30, but then we also need to update the SQL format and BLSQL format to CAR 30 rather than CAR 20. So I will make those changes as well. Okay. Any objections to those? Okay, housekeeping clock count. Now, these clock counts are a mess, but I guess what we need to decide in this case is if we're going to go for consistency with the spacecraft clock count values, which are defined as character rather than integer.
Well, I'm looking at the definition, and it specifically says that housekeeping clock count provides the spacecraft clock values, so I don't think you have much of a choice there.
Right. I think that was the issue, is originally spacecraft clock count had been set to an integer, and then I forget whether it was Galileo or whatever came along and used a non-integer value, so at that point it got switched to character.
Mm.
I think it's because of the partition.
Right, exactly. Okay, but anyway, so now we're stuck with whatever the class word is, we've got a general data type of character. And this housekeeping clock count has been defined to be consistent with a spacecraft clock count. Therefore, I think we need to set the minimum column value. Minimum column value to NA, and we need to change the max column value to NA and set the maximum length to at least 20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any objections on this one?
Well, what's the maximum length for the spacecraft clock count?
I have a sneaking suspicion it may be a little bit longer. Let me double check. That was the one thing.
Might as well have it be identical.
That's what I was thinking myself, although the request was only to set it to 20. But let me double check. It's 30 for the spacecraft clock count.
It's 30.
Should we go to 30 on this one? All right. Any objections to putting that one at 30? Okay, instrument compression quantization type. We have a character type keyword here, which does, as it should, have a maximum length. However, the maximum column value is also set and should not be. Instrument. Instrument compression quantization type. The maximum length is correct. The maximum column value is set to 30. And that doesn't make sense given the general data type and the fact that they're standard values. Any objections to dropping that and setting it to NA? Okay, MD5 checksum. See what we've currently got. Okay, MD5 checksum. Currently defined. identified as character, the minimum column and maximum column value attributes should be set to NA. Right now they're not set at all, which actually probably means they're set to null. Any problems with changing those? Okay. Fields and field number. These are the keywords that are used in spreadsheets that are the equivalent of columns and column number. They were originally defined with a general data type of ASCII integer and were the only keywords in the data dictionary that were defined that way. I made the argument in my notes that these, in fact, should be defined as integer rather than ASCII integer. And it looks like somebody actually went ahead and tried to change that in the data dictionary, but forgot to change some of the other things that should have been changed. I guess to start with, are there any objections to changing these to integer rather than ASCII integer?
Well, my objection is that in Chapter 3, integer is listed as obsolete.
Oh, for crying out loud, you're kidding.
It's an alias for MSB integer, which implies a binary value.
No, I think MSB is simply talking about the order, but let me double check here on something.
Actually, there is a subtle difference. The field that we're that integer or ASCII integer in is general data type, which has a different standard value set from the data type keyword that we use in label.
Oh, okay.
And in the general data type, it's integer, not ASCII integer. Well, ASCII integer is in the list as well. But integer seems to be what's used. Similarly, real is used all through the data dictionary.
Yeah.
Okay. In that case, I don't have an objection.
Okay. ASCII integer, let's see. As I say, it's used twice. Integer, I believe, is used, 221 times. Okay. So we'll go ahead and make the change to integer. Now, that... Okay, so a change was also made, like I say, where they changed minimum length now to NA, which I believe is appropriate. I believe that what we see in the online data dictionary, which is the SQL format and the BLSQL format, which are still set to CAR values, need to be updated to integer. Any objections to all of those changes, or do I need to enumerate them more slowly?
I have a question about the SQL format and BL.
Yes.
Is vTool going to be actually using those? Does it care about them?
I don't know that vTool will be. There may still be some other applications. I also understand that at least one of those has become obsolete and will probably disappear in the future, but I think we're going to be keeping one of them. It's more used as recommendations for outputting values than for validating them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be a major data dictionary cleanup someday, because if you look through, there's a lot of those that don't make sense.
Yeah. Well, and that can be done with an automated script. That's pretty easy. Because we just need to compare them to the general data type and the maximum length values.
Go for it.
It's on the list of things to do. Okay, any objections on fields and field number? Okay. Okay, I guess we're looking now at a correction in the standards reference. Actually, if everybody's okay with it, can we jump down to the dataset terse description? I know I just sent that out, as I said. Is everybody okay with us taking a look at it?
Yeah. If that's the message that came in just before, I haven't even opened it up. I don't know what it's about.
Okay, let me explain. This is the keyword dataset terse description, which is used in the, I believe, in the dataset.cat files. I wouldn't swear to that, but I believe that's where it shows up.
Yes, that's true.
And it's generally a short text field used to provide a sentence to a short paragraph, basically describing what the data set is. The general data type is correctly set to character, and the standard value type set to text. Unfortunately, somebody then provided text as a standard value in the standard value set, which means technically, you're limited to providing one value for the keyword, and that's text. So I think that's obviously incorrect, and would just like to delete the standard value set. because as I say, a character, I shouldn't say a character general data type, a text standard value type, in my opinion, should not have any standard values.
Makes sense to me.
Okay, any objections to that? Okay, last but not least then is standards reference section 12.3.1.3. If I still have this open, I do not. Okay, this was an issue of piecing together the symbolic representation of these values. But let me get there first. 12.3.1.3. Real numbers. Okay. I think the issue that we had here was that okay, if you look at a real value is defined as being assigned before either an unscaled or a scaled value, where unscaled is defined as having a period. And scaled real is defined in terms of the unscaled real. So both the unscaled real and the scaled real have a period. The exponent uses those values. Actually, hang on just a second here. Maybe I'm misreading this. Unsigned integer. Okay, did anybody take a look at this? And
yeah, it looks like where it says unscaled real, it looks like there must be a decimal point.
Right. And I had initially concluded that Sean's reading of this was correct, that there does need to be a period. But now that I'm looking at it, I see the exponent is an integer. Okay, so yes. Okay, so it looks like there does, in fact, have to be a period according to the definition. I'm guessing the example that caused trouble was the very last one, which is 31459E1, and there's no period in there, no decimal point.
Right.
Okay, my interpretation then of how this works is that we should have 31459 decimal point E1. Does that look correct to everyone?
Well, it would look more correct if it was decimal 31459.
Decimal 31459.
Well, it kind of depends on what convention you're used to. One convention requires a leading zero. One convention would expect to see 3.14159 e to the 1.
I agree if we're talking about pi, which it looks like that's, although the number's not actually correct, it's pi.
That's what I said. It should be decimal 31459. I believe the example that they're trying to show is if you look where it defines unscaled real, and it has an or symbol,
yes.
And it has a second one where it says decimal unsigned integer.
Okay. Do you think there should be a decimal in front rather than at the...
That's what they're maybe trying to show, because they didn't show that example at all, so...
Okay. Yeah, because we've already got 1, 2, 3 decimal above that, so I think you're right, Lyle. That makes more sense. Okay, so decimal 31459. Anyone have any differing opinions or interpretations on that one?
Well, are you insisting that it be done that way? Because I'm not sure that's quite how I understood the original proposal.
I think
all you were asking for was that there be a decimal. I'm not sure we need to get into conventions.
No, I think the issue here is simply that there needs to be a decimal. Therefore, I need to correct the example that doesn't show a decimal. And what should I correct it to?
Well, yes.
And we're arguing whether or not to put the decimal at the beginning or after the 31459.
Well, considering the way they've aligned the other numbers, it looks like the decimal point should come between the 9 and the E.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because they've got all the other decimals aligned, regardless of what the number is.
Yeah.
But I actually don't care where you put it, as long as there's an explicit decimal point somewhere.
Anybody else want to weigh in on this one?
I want to put in 6 or 8 examples.
Not really.
Example.
It would be good to have an example because the MER folks, for instance, have many cases of value where the number is like 1e followed by the exponent.
Yep.
And if they had 1 dot e, then I would have so much nicer validation. So.
Well, there is a minus 1 dot e just above this one. What examples are missing?
Well, we could go 31459.E1. I mean, frankly, there's no reason we couldn't put in both of them. 31459.E1 or .31459E1 would both be legitimate numbers.
Many examples would be nice.
How about the counterexample saying explicitly, this is not valid?
Okay.
1E to the whatever, because there is no decimal point preceding the exponent. And then you can actually point your little finger right at the example that says, look, this is not valid. This is why your labels are crapping out on me.
Yeah. All right, sounds good. I will add both examples, and I will add a counterexample as well.
Actually, you're adding an example of an invalid.
Which is the .314, or which one?
I was just questioning the wording in your statement, that's all.
Oh, I see what you're saying, an invalid example, yes. Okay.
It's a valid example.
Good guess.
Of
but
a bad.
Not valid, yes.
Okay.
The following is a good guess, but not valid.
All right. I think that gets us through the list.
I have one to add if you.
Sure. I'm sure there's a ton of them. These, like I say, these are simply the ones that tripped up VTool.
This is one I'm aware of for the PDS Data Dictionary.
Yep.
Go to the catalog object. You'll find that the list of required objects and optional objects do not match the list that's given in Appendix A.
Yes, that's been known for a while. I have fixed the standards reference. I think there was a few cases where we needed to update the data dictionary, and I haven't done that yet. That's part of a, I believe, an already approved SDR, although I'm going to go back and check my notes. But thank you. Yes, I am aware of that difference. Actually, that SDR may not have been approved. That may still have been an in-progress one. Like I say, I'll have to go back and check my notes.
Sure.
But it was one that originally, I think, might have been started by Valerie Henderson, where we were working on, basically it was catalog template issues, making sure that we had those all absolutely crystal clear and that everybody agreed on the format of them. And we talked about all that issue of which ones, which objects were required and which were not.
This has come up because the PSA's validation tool uses our data dictionary.
Oh, okay.
And so it says these objects are required, and I say, well, no, they're optional. And there's a disconnect there.
Okay, you know what? I will go through and do a double check on that and find out what the status on that is and make sure we get that fixed. I don't want to leave that hanging out there if it's going to be causing those kinds of problems. Not required. It doesn't match between PSDD and you said standards reference Appendix A, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I will take care of that. Okay, sounds good. Anybody else have any other issues?
Well, that's a pretty broad question.
True. Should be careful. Are you folks all intended to come for the, or is most, like who all flying out for the?
I'm still waiting to hear about telecon arrangements.
Okay. I will talk to Emily. I'm sure she's probably working on that, but I will.
Is there an updated agenda?
I thought Dan had published an agenda. May have only been to the managers. But again, I will forward that question.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen an agenda either.
Okay, then I will make sure Dan gets that circulated. And then Emily, we were going to work on telephone.
Website that Emily pointed us to a month ago.
There's a what?
There's a website that Emily sent out a message about over a month ago, and it has the agenda on it.
Okay,
I don't remember seeing that either. Okay.
I can.
Well, if I know it's from Emily, I can go back and search for it.
It even has telecon information, too.
I am guessing it might be the October 3rd message. Hang on, it's loading right now. Faster updated presentation. No? That's local.
That one from September 11th.
September 11th.
Sent to the management council and, let me see, the PDS tech.
You can get to it from the PDS engineering website.
There you go. Yeah. Yes, Ed, you're correct. Emily's original message was sent out September 11th, 3:51 p.m. I'm guessing that's Pacific time, but yeah. And that's got lots of details in it.
So, Ann, do you think you have it, or you need somebody to forward it to you?
Nope, I found it.
Okay.
That's back when I was still off work. Not surprising, it got buried under things in the inbox.
Okay, well, I look forward to seeing you folks next week then. I think we're done for today.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Okay, thank you all. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.